Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host, coming to you from the Clock Tower Recording Studio inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. Coins Plus is the sponsor. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Coins Plus has been doing business about 20 years, and we're always actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of rare coins and precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. And our areas of expertise are precious metals portfolio building, and we offer the highest rated depository service in the Northwest United States, or privately held and beyond. Today, we've got a guest on, Dan Litzenberg. Dan is the director of a Bull Hill Guest Ranch, I think it's called, and they're having an event in April, a shootout, and it's a fundraiser for Freedom Has a Face, which is a charity that's been started by a really good friend of mine. That is, it's an organization that basically does everything they can to help the family of the fallen, of our fallen warriors. And Dan himself is an Army Ranger. I think he was in the battalion for about 9 years. He was a sniper. Bull Hill Ranch, as far as I understand, is specializes in special ops, tactical training, kind of emphasizing, I think, sniper training. Dan's area specialty is high-speed moving targets as a sniper. And we're going to just talk with Dan a little bit today, find out what's going on up there, try to get some of you guys to come up to the event and learn a little bit about Dan and his background and get some insights from an Army Ranger who's had a number of deployments over to Afghanistan. How you doing today, Dan?
Hey, Kevin. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Good. Good, good. You bet. So I kind of led you in a little bit there. Tell me a little bit about, we've talked quite a bit, but I kind of find this story of Bull Hill Guest Ranch kind of intriguing. Well, first of all, let's just start out. The event is April 20th. Is that correct? Or what are the exact dates of that?
Yes. So the Freedom Has a Face historical shootout is April 20th. Through the 23rd up here at Bull Hill. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, we're Bull Hill Training Ranch, and the Guest Ranch is one of our partners that is up in the, basically it's their guest ranch that we came in, and they've been having SEALs come up and do training at their facility. So it's both of us actually putting on the event.
So how long have the SEALs been coming up there and doing their training?
Oh, they've been coming up for about 20 years and mostly doing sniper training. The facility that we have up here basically replicates some of the best training because of our mountainous terrain and a lot of the assets we have up here.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Any idea, this is kind of off the cuff a little bit, but any idea how they ever ended up there in the first place?
You know, it was just a friend that said, hey, I know a place in Washington that would be great to do some of your training, and they let them come up, the guest ranch, the Giglumino family, and who owns the guest ranch, and it just snowballed from there. You know, you come up here and you have this great experience and you see this place, and then people keep coming back.
And that's pretty cool. And you have some real long, extra long ranges, I understand, which is, I have some, you know, pretty high-end specialized rifles, and that's been one area that I've kind of struggled with, is finding places that I can actually reach out and you know, use the guns for what they're all about. So,
right.
So on, right. On the day, yeah, go for it.
Well, we have 50,000 acres here, so that yep. basically facilitates a lot of distance. And we go out at our range, it goes out to a mile. Our main range facility, Moses Complex, is what it's called, Moses Range mm-hmm. Complex. Mm-hmm. And that's where our moving targets are, our vehicle targets, and our mile-long target.
Oh, you have vehicle targets too, huh?
Yeah, we got a few vehicles out there, but some of the locals in the area actually donate vehicles for our military to come and engage with 50 Cal and do our fun stuff.
I don't suppose they look too good when you get done with them either, do they? Or you're never done
with
them.
No, they're pretty chopped up.
Well, that's pretty cool. So on the date, the April 22nd through 23rd, and by the way, I think the
20th through
April 23rd. 20th, I apologize. See, I need you to keep me straight here. So your website, is it bullhill.com?
Bullhilltraining.com.
Bullhilltraining.com. I apologize again. So I'm going to stay. I'll just hand it over to you here. So bullhilltraining.com. If you guys go on to the website, he's got, you know, there's different packages and stuff. Some of them are for larger sponsorship. But as an individual, you're welcome to come up. They've got some neat stuff in and around the area. He said there's some, you know, a lot of horse riding, and they've got other people's, you know, places nearby you can ride horses to. And then they're going to have, you're doing some raffles and stuff. And it's a situation where the listeners, if they come up there, they can actually put their hands on some of these higher powered rifles. They can actually shoot 50 cals and things like that. Is that correct?
Right. So for the spectators who aren't competing, they're right. going to be, we want to basically an event where people don't just watch right. and see some of this stuff, but are able to engage targets with some of these weapons and ride mm-hmm. horses. So if you come up and spectate, you can come up for free and spectate, and it's all for donation. You know, if you eat our food and shoot some of the guns, just donate into our jars, and we're just trying to raise money for Freedom Has a Face by giving spectators a variety of different activities. And
awesome.
Some of that is going to be, we have over 100 different weapon systems in our arms room. And mm-hmm. There's going to be a bunch of different weapon systems out there and be able to shoot whichever ones they want, essentially. Mm-hmm.
So, and just for the listeners again, Freedom Has a Face was established by a very good friend of mine. He's put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into it, Joe Locknett. And his son, Joseph Locknett, who's a good family friend as well, is a very decorated ranger himself. He's had, my understanding is, he's currently the personal bodyguard of a 4-star general, one of the few in the Army. And he's also had the most live combat missions of, I've heard, any military person ever. And he's incredible, and he'll be up there, and there's a lot of, you know, folks, I mean, there's a competition, there's multiple competitions, and you'll get to watch literally the best military tacticians in the world competing with one another in live environments. I think they're reproducing famous battles, and I think unless you get to come up there and see it, I've had the pleasure of shooting with some of these people, and the main thing I came away with is the level of skill and ability is something that everybody needs to see once in their life. Until you see this, I mean, a lot of us have watched movies and Hollywood, and it's really that good. I've been in some interesting situations with groups of them, and it just is beyond, and it's really a cool way to support our military, to support America. You know, the absolute greatest sacrifice a person can make, you know, is to lay down his life, as Christ said, for a friend or for a neighbor. And, you know, these Freedom Has a Face is a charity that is dedicated to these men who have literally laid down their lives for our freedoms. And I think Dan and I have talked a number of hours together enjoyably. And, you know, what's going on in America right now, and I know my listeners know that we've just lost our focus on what the hell America is all about. I mean, you know, this country is not, you know, freedom is not free. Freedom comes at a huge price. And that's why the name Freedom Has a Face. These are real people that have died, and this charity, it reaches out to these people in any way necessary. It'll provide air, flight, room, board. It assists them with, I don't know, you probably even know a little bit more than I do, Dan. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you know about Freedom Has a Face?
Well, actually, Kevin, Freedom Has a Face means a lot to me specifically because, and I didn't know this until actually Joe Locknett Sr., he came up to Bull Hill, stayed with us for a few days. Great to have him up just to see the facility. It started with, I had a friend of mine in 2012, Tommy McPherson, in Ranger Battalion. He was killed in combat, and it was the first friend. You know, we're all brothers in arms, and we're not necessarily all friends. So this was a very close friend of mine that was killed in action, and it was started at the, not the funeral, but the memorial we had at our Ranger Battalion. Tommy's sister spoke and said, now, at the end of her speech, said, now freedom has a face for me. And that's where Locknet, he wanted to start a charity after hearing that. And it, what we've seen with these other charities that I've dealt with is there's all these different pipelines and different stuff in politics into how to get help to our the fallen family members. And it just shouldn't be like that. They need help now. We should get it to them now. And that's what Freedom Has a Face. They do stuff very quickly. They do it because they know it needs to be done. And there's no... there's none of this politics. It's just get it done, because that's what we realize in the military. We and just need to get stuff done, and we need to do it quick, and people need our help.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the military is about, or it should be. And, you know, it's interesting. I was just thinking as you were speaking, we have all these charities for, like, wounded warriors, okay? So the guy, you know, he sacrificed a limb, or not that they're, not to minimize that in the least, but the point is, you know, the ultimate sacrifice is the loss of life for your country, your neighbor, your partner, like you said, your friend. And yet, it's easy to forget. And I think the hard part is, even recently with Trump's speech where they had the wife of the fallen Navy SEAL, I mean, that gal was weeping heavy duty. And of course, the left tried to, you know, turn it into a terrible, I mean, just, it's sad. It's sad when they politicize any of this, and I think everything's being politicized now. But the actual pain and suffering, we have to remember that freedom does have a face. These are real people with real family members. And I think sometimes people think that, well, you know, they knew what they were getting into. Well, I'll tell you, the casualty rate in the U.S. military is phenomenally low. Our level of accuracy and precision is incredible. And yeah, when you go to war, you know what you're getting into. But you know, the thing about when America goes to war, we don't go there by choice. We're never aggressors. We're always going to fight, all, you know, realistically, rationally, for the freedoms of others. And a lot of countries may not appreciate it. We may not always execute properly. But we're there as a moral obligation. So these people, so you guys join up. And I talked to Dan earlier, very interesting. Dan was, I think, in junior high when 9/11 hit. And Dan got convicted early on that he wanted to go into the military. And then if I understand properly, when Dan was in his initial basic training, they you know, they offered him a Ranger slot. And Dan is, you know, this is Ranger Battalion, a Ranger Brigade, or Ranger Brigade Battalion, whatever. These are the real Rangers. There's a lot of people I've run into that'll say they're Rangers, or they went to Ranger school and they have a tab on their shirt. These are the real special forces. These are the real guys. I've seen a lot of live video of them. I've seen night video of them. The rate at which they tactically execute and the precision is absolutely phenomenal. They are truly the best in the world. And so they do such a good job. Occasionally you will suffer a casualty, but they are rare. And even if, you know, whatever, it's just not, it's never easy, and it's easy to forget, and it's easy to move on. And it's just, Freedom Has a Face is reaching out to these people's lives. I know I just went through the loss of my father around Christmas, and he was my best friend. And I mean, that is a brutally, brutally tough time. And in general, people don't understand. They don't relate. And I think the bonds that get formed, especially between guys like Dan and his comrades, which is probably not the proper term, but his fellow military personnel, I really believe that the bonds that get formed at that level are probably richer and deeper than probably any other bond other than marriage, because you guys literally become an appendage of one another. You rely on each other. What, you know, right. none of you are as good as all of you, period, right? I mean,
well, and that's what you realize. You don't realize it, honestly, Kevin, until you get out those bonds and relationships, because you get out. I mean, I got out of high school and joined the Army, and I've had these relationships that I just thought were normal, but you get out and you don't have those anymore. And you kind of realize those relationships with the guys that you served in combat with, that you'll never have, those relationships or relationships you'll never have with other people.
Now, you guys have shared everything. You've done the same thing. You've pushed yourself to the absolute max as a Ranger. You've been through, I don't think most people understand what, we were discussing earlier, the level. People watch some, Hollywood. The SEALs have gotten a lot of publicity lately. I don't know why that's become Hollywood's favorite baby, but...
Well, at Ranger Battalion, quiet professionalism is what we preach. People don't need to know what we do all the time. It's not about that. It's not about us. And when we know that, we do it for a bigger purpose. And everybody is there because they have this deep love for their country, and they really want to go fight some of this evil that's out there and that people don't understand or don't see. And we don't want them to see it. We don't want them to see it, and we don't want it here in America, and that's why we're over there doing it.
Yeah, I was a friend of mine when Saddam was captured. The Rangers captured Saddam, and then what they do is they quietly slip away and they let the army take the credit for it, the general enlisted army.
A lot of people didn't know Ranger Time was there doing that.
Yeah, they don't. And I think part of that is really for the, like you said, quiet professionalism. Part of it's for the psychology of the enemy. And also, if the enemy, they never know where you're at or what you're doing, but they know when you show up, it's going to be a bad day. Because, like I said, I've had some, I spent years, too many years where I grew up boxing, and I spent just way too many years in martial arts, and yeah, it was just the love of my life. And so I appreciate, being able to push yourself to your maximum performance levels. But I never, like I was telling Dan in a conversation we had, I'd never been around, I've seen people with weapons, with, different kinds of handheld weapons, but with guns, I have never seen what these guys are capable of, and it is absolutely phenomenal. And I just encourage people to get up there and go see that. And
well,
so
we don't, and with weapons, it's funny you say that, Kevin. We don't look at it like a lot of people look at it. It's a tool. It is a tool. It's a lifeline. And so we look at it different, and we teach up here different stuff because of we look at weapons like they're our tools and lifelines. So that's how we use them in application in our job.
Well, from what I saw, I would say for you guys, they're an appendage. I think they become part of your body.
They do, and that's just through repetition, and then understanding. I've had a weapon go down overseas when I needed it to be up, and understanding how important it is, it becomes part of you.
Yep. I would really encourage people to make their way up. This is, so Bull Hill, you call it training ranch?
Bull Hill Training Ranch.
Is up near Kettle Falls, and it's in Washington, correct?
Correct. Northeastern corner. Yeah. We're right next to Canada, essentially.
So it's in April 20th through 23rd. It's an excellent way, and they actually have cabins up there you can stay in, you can buy packages, you can bring your family along, you can spend a night or two. They've got food, great food. They've got a little bit of whiskey and some beer, and it's just, it's a great way to get, spring's going to be coming right around the corner then. It's a great way to get along. That's one of the most beautiful drives there is. You can take your family or friends or whatever. You can go up, spend, take a beautiful drive, go to a gorgeous 50,000-acre ranch, and watch America's finest, which is the world's finest, compete with one another, bringing out their absolute best, and then get to put your hands on some guns, have some great food, and really participate in the core of the best of what this nation is about, which I really believe. I believe we're losing that focus, and I think it's a great opportunity to just remember who we are. When the politics are spinning and the messes are going on, our military never wavers, and they can't. And they're going to be the best come hell or high water. And I just think so many of the listeners are so up on what's going on politically. I think they share a lot of the concerns you and I talked about, Dan. And so when Dan and I were talking earlier, he had some things, and I just love to get your input a little bit on what you're seeing going on around us in the world now. You got some opinions or insights, or what do you feel about our country and its state?
Yeah, well, honestly, and as being a sniper, I've been fascinated with psychology and having to read people to make decisions. And I've really been fascinated by this election because of what has happened is it's split our country right down the middle, and it's two different thought processes. And those thought processes, you know, you got this other side. I call them Hillary voters and Trump voters. But one side doesn't understand why we think one way, and we don't understand why they do. And I think that's okay, because I don't think that, let's say, the military is very conservative, you know, very Trump-voting people. I don't think they necessarily should speak for just the country, because people that have committed small acts of violence, essentially, have been trained to be a very violent individual for the better good, essentially, going overseas and going on deployments. I think you need that balance of another peaceful side that doesn't, you know, agree with our side.
But, so you're saying like war, you're okay with war protesting, or what exactly are you saying?
No, what I'm saying is I think that what we see, there's cause and effect. There's reality on we need to do something, because this country, and we've been seeing it in the military as well, it's starting to just degrade a lot of the morale in the military.
Exactly.
A lot of, I just don't see that patriotism that I used to see, and it's got to be fixed. And what we see is cause and effect in the military. We have to do something. You know, the path we talked about. In the military overseas, we don't take that path that's so blatantly obvious to take, because the enemy will place ambushes and mines on those paths. We take the path of least resistance.
Yep.
And sometimes in life, the reality is, sometimes we got to do the hard thing that might not seem like good things that need to happen, like we talked about, are going to be hard decisions.
I agree. Dan and I were talking earlier about the fact that, you know, we were talking about Islam and the fact that he had a friend step on a landmine, lose a leg. They, of course, rushed him back to medics. And then they watched the drones and they saw the villagers or whatever find the guy's leg, parade it around. His comment was, it's not just the men, it's the women, it's the children, it's everybody. And we were talking about the fact that it's not just a select few radicals, it is the religion. And then the point that Dan made was, you know, when you're going through places like that, the path of least resistance, the obvious path that's the easiest, is the most dangerous and, you know, has the most consequences because they're full of landmines. And so a lot of times they have to take the most difficult path or the most illogical path. And we were talking about, you know, the application of that to life is the right path. I think Abraham Lincoln made a quote to the terms that, you know, if you wonder what the right path is, it's usually the hardest path. And there's so much truth to that. And I think kind of along this exact lines of what's going on in this country, you know, in my mind, it goes back to Karl Marx. He says, you know, that if you gather the minds of the students and academics and you gain control of the press, the media, and turn it into your propaganda, you can have a country in a short period of time. And they've got our students thinking that the path of least resistance, whatever is easiest, it's all about emotion, no logic, no hard work, you've got to work to reap rewards. And that's what's going on in these college campuses. They're fed all this crazy idealism. They really have no knowledge. And there's a Bible verse that I love that says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. And it's Proverbs 18:2, and that is what they're teaching these kids. They're teaching them, first of all, that we're a democracy. We're not. We're a republic. We're a law, a land of laws and rules that are irrevocable, right? And it's the problem with the democracy is the 51% can vote to take away from the 49%, and then the media can brainwash them and say, hey, this is a really good program, or whatever, and they can, and so these kids are starting to think that all that matters is their opinion, and biblically that makes them fools. Fools aren't.
Well, let me give you an example, Kevin. Let me give you an example about this immigration control that's going on. I've got a buddy, Matt Olson, who's up in Ellensburg area as an ICE agent, immigration control and customs and enforcement. I forget what the E stands for.
Enforcement.
Enforcement. There you go. And he's telling me exactly what they're doing, and they're going after criminals. One of the guys he told me he was going to pick up just now was a person that raped a girl and through political loopholes was able to get out of jail and stay here and then got out and raped another girl. And so he's going after this evil that we've been talking about, which is such a good thing. And this guy's a great guy, and he's... And he's very religious, and he's a good, morally straight person. And he's doing the right thing, and he's got all this backlash from people and protests, and he can't even do his job in some incidents.
We've vilified our law enforcement. We've vilified laws and rules. I mean, kids are—they're—they're. I say kids because I really think it's coming out of the colleges, but they are objecting to rules and laws and discipline and self-control and consequences. You know, it's like everything goes.
It's almost like they don't know reality is the thing.
You're correct.
What really is going on.
That's really it in a nutshell, is they have a skewed perception of reality, which, you know, again, I kind of brought up the Marxism, but that's the whole concept of, you know, they want socialism. It's all this idealistic baloney that can never happen. Human nature is in direct contradiction to the theory or philosophy of socialism, where we all share. Nobody has any desire to be better than the other. And, you know, the problem with human drive is, human drive and motivation is excellent, but it also can take an evil path where you have something I want and I decide to take it from you by force. You know, we have to have rules and when you get to extreme levels, you get to the national level, and then that's where people like you have to go overseas and take care of business. So, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's crazy. And then, you know, we've got, I don't know, the media is just lambasting. I don't know. I think the biggest concern that we all share is, what is the end game? How far does this go? You know, is the pendulum swinging so far that it's going to break? I mean, are we really, you know, in ways we've got civil tensions. I remember a few years back under Obama, and I really hold Obama accountable for a lot of this, when he said he would fundamentally transform America. People, I didn't fully understand, but he specializes in dividing people and creating internal chaos. And, you know, like you were talking about with the illegal immigrant, it's not their country. I had a conversation with a guy years back when I was in California, and he was an illegal immigrant, and we were sitting at this restaurant, and this guy had some beers with his buddies, and we were talking. And him and his buddies literally told me, quote, they didn't give a blank about what happened to America. I was talking to him about their kids getting free schools. You know, I was working before I had this business at B of A, and we had these ridiculous programs. They could come in with no Social Security number, nothing, and Bank of America, you know, you or I can't go in with no Social Security and open a bank account, but they could. And they were getting all these free handouts, and I was talking to these guys. They knew it. They admitted it. They laughed about it. And I said, you know, ultimately it's going to bankrupt America. I said, what are you going to do then? And they said, then his comment was, quote, we'll go back home. Their home is in Mexico. You know, they're here because it's easy. Again, path of least resistance. Obama's made it easy. Just come across the border. And, you know, we've got to reestablish those rules and regs. The bottom line is, without them, we crumble, you know, so.
Right. It's just how it's going to be, because it's reality. It's cause and effect. And we've seen it time and time again in history. And it's, you know, it does get frustrating sometimes because I really think if you want an idea of, let's say, who to vote for as a leader, such as in this election, look at the military and who they're voting for. Because
exactly.
A lot of our guys, like we've been talking about, Locknet, this guy that's given everything, been on 15 deployments, and he has given everything for his country. Why is that person going to vote for a leader that is going to ruin the country? And we're able to identify this.
Exactly.
With a lot of different politicians. Hey, that guy is full of it.
Absolutely.
I don't see him being genuine. And I was able to see that a lot in this election with you know, Hillary Clinton. And then when I looked at Trump, I saw a leader, and I saw someone that really cared about his country. And that's just, as a sniper, it's been something that I've been able to do and other people in the military have been able to do is identify, basically call their bluff. Well, hey, I just wrote down genuine.
When you were talking, I just wrote down military discernment. And you're right on the money, because your purpose, especially yours as special operations, is you know, is the security of this nation. And we have lost focus with the importance of defense. I mean, without defense, guess what? We're the problem with America, and one of the issues is we've had the longest peacetime on our soil of any nation in the history of the world. And so people don't realize there's true threats out there. Now we're facing, you know, these lone wolf bombers and stuff, but we don't realize you can go to the extreme. You've got North Korea and Iran working literally 24/7, putting all their resources, sending people out to get PhDs to come back, and their focus is to create a long-range device that can transport nuclear warheads to this nation. And that, you know, this is their goal. And if it's like we said earlier, all that's necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And when you look at the military, if they're choosing a leader, you know, the military's primary goal is the absolute what's best for America, hands down. I mean, you cannot refute that, because for them to be strong and effective, America is well protected and secure. And so I think you nailed it for sure. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely been frustrating, Kevin, for some of our military having to go through that other side of thought process and get them to really see, hey, this is to better our country. We have to do this. And yeah, like my friend Tommy McPherson giving the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
I want his sacrifice not to go, unnoticed. I want him to have died for a purpose.
Yeah. And you guys can go to Freedom Has a Face website as well, and I mean, they do a nice job. There's actually Joe Locknet's daughter and wife have this. They wrote this absolutely gorgeous song. And if you go to the homepage, I'm going to see, is it FHAF.com? Let's see here. I'll check.
It is. Let's see. No, it's not FHAF.
No, it's just Freedom Has a Face, probably.
I believe it's freedomhasaface.org. So www.freedomhasaface.org.
Yeah, freedomhasaface.org. If you guys want to go to this website, and I'm on there now, and on the homepage, top right, it says official FHAF music video. His daughter Naomi and his wife Kelly, who have insanely beautiful voices, wrote this song, and it is absolutely gorgeous. And it describes, you know, what they're doing and who they are. And then you can actually go on and see the fallen. And I mean, they have their stories, and they have memorial walls, and they, you know, it's a really neat thing. I think it's, and to those who are in the military, especially in the families of, I mean, this is deep, deep stuff. This is the real deal. And they fought, you know, these people fought, died, and, you know, for a cause. They actually have the link up there to the Bull Hill training.com events as well. So that's good, too. So you can get there through Freedom Has a Face or bullhilltraining.com and freedomhasaface.org. They've got different sponsorship levels, which are, you know, they can be a bit intimidating. Those are for corporate sponsors. But they'll take, you know, there's any kind of donation is appreciated. You can come up, you can buy tickets and do some stuff, and they have cabins and food and all that. But I just think it's a unique opportunity to be in our area, to have, you know, the finest come to our area. And I know they've come up here, I think at one point Dan came up with some snipers that I got to, you know, watch and shoot with a little bit one time as well. And there's just nothing like it. They're just, it's an honor, in my opinion. It's an absolute honor to be able to give back a little bit to what these men are doing in our nation. And I think it
And that's what we want to do up there too, Kevin, is it's not about just the military competing. It's the civilians coming in. We're trying to have active duty military veterans and civilians come through and compete together, because what we found last year at the Darby Project historical shootout was they built these relationships with civilians and they became friends after, and now they have this outlet besides the military with different civilians, and it just gets everybody in the community. And it was just such a cool event, and the spirit was so high, and a lot of good relationships came out of it.
So what are they, what's the Darby Project?
So the Darby Project is another veteran charity that specifically does, helps Rangers. So Rangers and their spouses in need. And that's not just necessarily the fallen. It's just in different situations how to help Rangers and their families.
So they just want to meet needs, period, of active duty, or what is it exactly?
Right, but not necessarily just active duty. It could be really anything. But and that's
once a Ranger,
kind of
always a Ranger.
Say that again, Kevin?
Is it just for Rangers?
Specifically Rangers, but I think they will help others in certain situations.
But I got you. And what I said a minute ago is once a Ranger, always. Yeah, go ahead.
That was some of the politics I was talking about, is there, we've experienced with other charities how there's it just takes too much time to get funds and help to people we need to. And with Freedom Has a Face, you know, they identify there's a problem and somebody needs their help, and they just get it done. And so that's what, you know, there's some differences, and Freedom Has a Face is definitely one of those charities that they're proactive, and they're very, hey, this needs to be done. These people need our help. How can we do it?
So does Freedom Has a Face identify, do they see the fallen and contact the family, or does the family engage through the website, or how does that work exactly?
Both. So people can come to them, and they also actively look on how to help as well. So there was a case of a Marine that was killed in action last year, and they were able to get funds to some of his family members to go see the funeral and fly there because they weren't able to financially.
Cool.
And other situations similar to that.
So cool.
And that's
so,
just one example. And there's no cut and dry, you know.
Right, yeah.
Everybody's situation is so different and dynamic that you just have to be able to adapt to the charity
and figure out
how to help.
Which is probably why the military is sometimes so poor in their response, is because they can't write it into a perfect little set of guidelines. If this happens, if A, then B, you know.
Yeah, it never worked out as you plan, ever, especially in combat, from what a lot of us have seen.
Yeah.
So you have to adapt, and you have to problem solve, and you have to figure out how to get the mission done, essentially.
Yeah. And one other thing, too, I was talking to Dan about that I found intriguing, and Dan suffered a little bit of an injury, or maybe more than a little bit, but it was, my understanding is they were jumping at night. Dan got stuck on another Ranger's inflated chute. Apparently, Dan said they've been trained how to slide off, and while he was trying to get that done, his chute deflated. And then what, you rode the other guy's chute down? Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's stupid to jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
Yeah.
any situation, hey. But we have to do it.
That's why you're the elite, my friend.
So, it was nighttime, and sometimes what can happen is a phenomenon of another parachutist stealing your air. Basically, wow. What inflates your chute by being over you and taking your air, and it can help deflate your chute. And so this was nighttime. I couldn't really see, which added to the panic. But I landed on another parachute's inflated chute and was able to scoot off and identify. We actually trained for that. We actually practiced scooting off the chute, you know. And all of a sudden, I start falling because my chute, I'm guessing, was deflated because of that.
Wow.
I was able to inflate right before I hit the ground, but sustained some back injuries and hip injuries. So
I didn't really want to highlight the fact that you got injured, but the more I thought about that, I thought, you know, that alone, I mean, you can describe it as an accident. But at the same time, in my mind, when you look at that series of events and the fact that, like you said, we were trained for that, you know, I don't know, how do they train you? Do they train you to slide off of another chute actually while you actually jump? I mean, you're actually live. Unbelievable. So you actually had experienced that situation in training where they want you to get on top of someone else's chute. I mean, I don't even know how you do that. How do you do that? The other guy slows up?
You always, before you jump, and we do static lines, so it's not free fall. Basically, it's for a mass tactical jump to seize airfields. So if you go in and you're starting a war somewhere, you got to seize airfields to be able to get resources in. And that's what Ranger Battalion specializes in, and we practice on all the time. And so before you jump, you always do a sustainment training, and you go over everything, actions in the air, how to fall. They teach you how to fall, how to do a proper actual, what do they call it, PLS, what does that stand for? Proper landing fall or something. They teach you how to fall, but you just hit the ground like a big heavy bag of rocks and make a big thud noise most of the time.
Ouch. That's wild. I just was, the more I thought about that, like I said, I didn't really want to highlight the fact that you got hurt, but you know what?
Hey, it happens. It could have been worse. So.
That's my point. My point is, you know, if you take an average civilian parachutist and, you know, they wouldn't survive that. They couldn't survive that. And that, I think that's a lot of, you know, the point of the Rangers is, I mean, you know, basically you get a select group of men, you know, out of the U.S. military, and they put you through, you know, literal hell, don't they? I mean, you know, just to get in, it's, you know, they run you to the edge. Like you were talking about how during the first, you know, whatever it is, the 8 weeks, whatever the process is, that they break down. You were talking, one night we were talking and you said they literally break down your body to the extreme. I mean, I think everything in your body's just done, including your mind. And I don't know if that's, you know, I've always wondered if part of it is it the breakdown to build you back up, or is it also because they know that when they break you down to that point, they find out who you really are, and only a few can sustain themselves at that level? Or what do you think the whole logic is?
Well, the logic is, and I've seen it, and there's a reason for it, is mentally and physically, most of the times when we go out operationally on missions, you are mentally tired and you are physically destroyed, but you have to go and you have to lead not just yourself and find the courage and the drive to finish the mission yourself. You have to lead others to do it. And so basically they break you down mentally and physically, and they make you lead and make decisions and get you to the point where there's multiple times overseas when physically your body's saying you can't go over this mountain you got to get to get to the bad guys, but you know you've been there so many times before and test yourself mentally and physically that you already know you can do it, essentially.
And then, so like that movie Lone Survivor, I'm sure you've watched that with Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
about Marcus Luttrell. I mean, granted, it's Hollywood, but, you know, the whole concept. I grew up in Montana, and so when they were up in those mountains, I could smell that lime in the dirt just because I've been around it so much. But, I mean, just, you know, even that story, the level of, gosh, I don't know what you'd call it, that those guys, you know, the way they just hung in there, they didn't stop. They couldn't be stopped. They had to be, you know, they weren't, they just didn't stop. And I think that's what you're talking about, is they just, they get the men, they train you to a point, but they're also finding your integrity. They're finding the best and the finest. It's really magnificent when you think about the fact that our U.S. military is so good at it. They've spent so many years perfecting it. And, you know, that's why we're the best. We're the greatest. I mean, you just don't stop. And the other thing, the Rangers, it's real big, is no man left behind, right? I mean, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, we will leave no man behind. Yep. That is our big thing.
So it's really the epitome of integrity. In my mind, I think, you know, the military is one thing, but the special ops is another. And they really are the finest men on earth. And, I've met a lot of
all our military. All our military, really, Kevin. It's not about recognizing the SEALs and Rangers and Delta Force guys. Everybody that serves in a time of war, you know, we're all doing our part. We can't do it without each other. We all have our specialties.
Absolutely. But the special ops, I mean, you know, they're special men that are, you know, they're a cut above. They're special people. And, you know, in a lot of cases, they get, you know, these are men with those traits, I guess is what I'm saying, are, you know, they're the finest. And the thing is in a lot of cases, you know, there's more sacrifice than just, you know, I mean, it's all sacrifice, but even in a lot of times, these men choose to serve our nation rather than pursuing profits in business or, you know, different things like that. The family sacrifices, it's just the ultimate sacrifice. And that's what I was getting at, is just the level of integrity is so great. And I just appreciate it so much as a civilian to know that we've got what we've got out there, and that you were part of it. And I appreciate that. And you're, you know, you're a sniper, and you were at one point, you said you were kind of looking at going into Delta Force for a bit there, weren't you?
Yeah, well, that's when I had those physical injuries, and the Army basically decided that I was going to get medically retired, and that was kind of the end of, I didn't want to take a desk job, and, you know, once you're in Ranger Battalion, it's going to be kind of hard to
nothing
sit down
like it.
At a desk job. So.
And Dan's up now training snipers, and Dan was telling me that his biggest challenge when he was out in the field was high-speed targets, which I can imagine. We all see snipers, you know, pod up, and, you know, they get down and they're lining their rifle up. But I think Dan was saying that he didn't feel like he had sufficient training in high-speed targets. So he went out and he had special equipment made, which was not cheap, and it sounds like something that's never really been done, that moves at, what, 3, 6, 9, and 12 miles an hour. It can stop, change directions. I don't know. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Carl Taylor and In Motion Targets, and actually they're right in Colville, Washington, which is just south of us here in Kettle Falls. They make these moving targets, and they went 3, 6, and 9 miles an hour. And what I saw overseas as a sniper, and what we see is very fast-moving, running targets from a piece of cover to another piece of cover, assaulting basically a friendly force. So you're providing cover, and if they are maneuvering on a friendly force, they're maneuvering quickly, they're sprinting. And so I wanted these targets because of something that I saw overseas with an engagement of a fast-moving target. And as sniper school taught me, it wasn't these fast-moving targets. It was walking targets.
Interesting.
And so that training didn't prepare me for that engagement, and I had to create new ways on how to think about engaging moving targets.
Wow.
And that's what we do out here. That's what we're really passionate about with teaching our snipers, is staying on your target and not hitting every time the first time, but knowing what to do to make that correction to hit the target.
You only have to hit once, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and hopefully before
accuracy
they're
by volume,
undercover.
That's what I say.
What'd you call it?
Accuracy by volume.
Yep. One out of three ain't bad. And then, the military actually, is it a technical training course that the snipers choose to go to, or is it something that the military encourages them to go to, or?
You get qualified as a sniper, so they have a school down in Benning called the Army Sniper School. Special Forces also has a sniper school in Fort Bragg that I went to. So there's different schools to go to get the qualification and identifier as a sniper, because you have to, at any given time, make a precision engagement with possible friendlies in the area or a hostage situation, and you have to maintain a certain level of qualification.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to make sure and vet essentially that person to be a sniper.
Yeah. Okay. So as we're kind of getting near the end of the show here, so they can contact you through the website. What is do you just want them to sign up or email, or what exactly is the process? Would the ideal process look like for you here?
Yeah, so if you go into bullhilltraining.com and then you go to our events page, you can actually sign up and register as a competitor. You can be a civilian, you can be active duty military. You get your food paid for. We supply all the ammo and the weapons, so you actually, day one, get familiarized with all the weapon systems. We're going to have Barrett 50 cals, so those are big anti-vehicle weapons we have out here. They're going to be able to shoot actual vehicles with them. It's going to be a great time. Spectators can come. We're going to have horse riding to a saloon out in the woods where people can go and shoot those guns I talked about for donations. And these are all our weapons. We're letting people shoot. It's just to raise money for Freedom Has a Face.
So when they go on the website, are they registering, letting you know they're coming up, or do they just sign up and pay a registration fee I see there, or is that how you want it?
For competitors.
Spectators, okay, that is?
Just come up. Come up.
So free. Okay, that's what I...
For free,
and then
it's for donations.
Gotcha.
It's for
donations. And you have a camp. You have campsites if they want to pitch tents or anything like that. It's all available?
Yep, so we have camping areas down at our airfield property, but we also have a big airfield hangar that fits planes in it, but we're going to heat that up and actually put canopies in there, and there'll be food and stuff like that, and so it'll be kind of like a big party house.
And how about the food? So how will the food work for the spectators?
The food's just for donation. So there'll be, it's just on the honor system. You can come up, eat, and make sure you bring those donations.
Three meals? Three meals a day? Or?
Yep, three meals a day we're doing. And actually, Tatoosh Whiskey is going to be doing, and they're out of the Seattle area, they're going to be doing the dinners. So I think they're doing tri-tip dinner. Another steak dinner. And then Lori Roberts out of Colville is actually going to be catering some of the event as well. So volunteers are essentially coming in to cook.
That's awesome. So everybody's volunteering. And then last, we're getting down there. When you and I talked a while ago, we were talking a little bit about having a place that they can just donate money straight to Freedom Has a Face. Have you had a chance to get that on the website, or is that something you're still working on, or how does that work?
So starting next Monday, there's going to be a link right on our website on the events page, right next to the registration, and also on Freedom Has a Face, and it will be a Freedom Has a Face GoFundMe, essentially, for the event.
Okay, cool. So you guys will be able to just donate anything you can afford. Just remember, you know, you're pitching into the families of the fallen to really meet the needs of people that, you know, they've paid the ultimate sacrifice. And even though the sacrifice is great, the loss is great, and the families appreciate it, and I guarantee you, they're meeting a family's needs at a time that like no other. So, well, I appreciate having you on again, Dan, and I will cover this. I'll remind the listeners regularly about this event, and I'll keep plugging your website and make sure it's on the top of their mind, and hopefully we can get a nice crowd up there for you, and hopefully people can have a once in a lifetime. You bet. So take care. God bless. Been awesome having you on, And appreciate all our talk, and I'll be in touch with you soon.
Hey, thanks. Good.
Take care, bud. Bye-bye.
All right.
So anyway, guys, that is a fine individual. It's just I feel so honored to have had, through a series of events over the years, developed some relationships with some of our finest military personnel and in the United States and the world. And these are just, when you get exposed to these men, there's just nothing like them on earth. That's like I was saying there, and he properly corrected me. It's all military individuals, but I know a lot of special ops guys, and they're just special people. And anything you guys can do to really stand behind this, we're a conservative, Bible-believing audience, and this country is built on biblical and moral, Judeo-Christian ethics. And this is what makes us who we are. And even though, politics is spinning out of control and this country's nuts, we don't need to lose our focus, and we got to stand behind, because truth and goodness will always prevail. And hopefully Trump will build stuff up. And I had obviously a show established for today. I was going to go over, talk a little bit about what's going on out there. But the craziness continues. And maybe we'll get to that on Friday a little bit, about what's going on with Trump Care and all this kind of stuff. There's sure a lot of different stuff going on, but I appreciate you tuning in. Coins Plus is the sponsor of the show, True Wealth. Your full service rare coin, precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. It's really a terrific time, folks, to be getting your finances secured. If you haven't done it, I talk to you about it all the time. Don't be afraid to do it. You don't need to be rich to come and do something. Just, you can buy an ounce of silver. I mean, you just start building that biblically based asset savings account. Preserve and protect. Things are a little bit, we are heading into madness. We're unfortunately, the spending in this country is not going to stop. We've got, the times are more interesting behind the scenes. We're getting a lot of evidence of CIA, violations of privacy. Folks, we live in the country we think we know what's going on, is what I'm saying. So, just prepare yourself. Be secure. So thanks again for tuning in. I really, really appreciate it. And I hope you'll really help back these guys up that we talked to today. So take care. God bless. I will be back on Friday. Have a great night. Bye-bye.